Welcome to the latest edition of the Staying Gang podcast as we visit with head football coach Bill Maskell. Glad you could be with us, and thanks for joining us for these weekly podcasts. And we've got a little celebrating to do on this podcast, Coach, because the Mustangs come away with a season-opening victory on the road at Quincy. Overall, what was your impression of the first road trip?
I thought it went pretty smooth. We didn't have any bus breakdowns and didn't have any problems with our meals, and that part was good. The game, kind of like what we talked about, we got a little bit better in the second half. We gave up way too many big plays on defense, but we made a lot of big plays on defense. So I guess that kind of evened things out now. As you get to a better opponent, then giving up 4 touchdown passes is probably not going to equal out to all the sacks and all the turnovers that we got. I thought offense was pretty steady in the ball and through the ball equally as well, I thought. Didn't think we had a lot of mental mistakes on offense. I think on defense we had quite a few. Our kicking game was not stellar by any means. So overall, it was good to go on the road and travel 12 hours or however long we traveled and come away with a big win.
It sounds like in a lot of ways that it was almost an ideal opening game for you. You get a win, but you also have a lot of teachable moments after the first week.
Yeah. We just made some simple errors that I think can we get corrected, and particularly on defense. And offense, we didn't give up a sack. Defense, we got 7 or 8 sacks. But I think that some of the things that went on during the course of the game, we can learn from, and if we'll take the knowledge that we saw on tape and what the coaches have presented, I think that we can grow from that. And we have to grow. We're getting ready to get into our conference scheduling, and conference is pretty tough this year.
Yeah, and I do want to get more into that, but there's some more about last week I want to touch on before we get into the A&M Commerce game that everybody's looking forward to. But you mentioned the sacks that you had at Quincy, and you had 8 different players account for those sacks. So it seems like up front you have the depth that you thought you had going in.
Yeah, we rolled a lot of guys, and if that would have been a hot, humid day, I think it would have been a different day for us, because several of our guys got tired early on, and when you're giving maximum effort, you need some depth, and we don't have a lot of depth in the secondary right now. That's where we've got to work around what personnel that we have. I think we got some depth at linebacker and some depth at the up front. Thing up front is that we're not real big. We're small at the ends, and we're small at the tackles. There isn't anybody that's the big tackle, the tall tackle, tall and heavy that can move. I think our tallest kid in the line is probably Zed Azawada. He's probably about 6'3", a little on the light side, but he moves well. And our defense is built around athleticism and speed.
And you were able to score a touchdown on defense, and that's always a bonus. And it really was a turning point in the game last Saturday.
Yeah. We changed up a couple coverages in the second half and made a few adjustments, and they, tried to throw something outside, and we were in a tight man coverage, and he was able to break in front of the ball, and the quarterback didn't see that he was playing man under. And then he stumbled his way in the end zone. That was a big play, huge big play. But youthful Dylan Davis, the next time that he tried to do the same thing, he missed the tackle. The other way. So that's one of those teachable moments that you're talking about.
Yeah, you kind of touched on this a minute ago, but it seemed like it was kind of a mixed bag defensively because you had all the sacks, you had the interception return for a touchdown, but at the end of the day, you give up over 500 yards of total offense. So I guess my question is, what's your overall assessment of the defense? Are you more impressed with the big plays or more concerned about the yards you gave up?
Probably a combination of both. You know, I think that Quincy, they were a try-hard team. I don't think they were ever going to run the ball on us. I mean, they moved the ball through big plays and scrambling. And our Achilles heel is our pass defense. And, if we don't get that corrected, and corrected this week, you know, we're in for a long, long, tough year. But like I said, I think that we've got a lot of young kids back there that are they're growing as we speak. They're learning, and they're, you know, so three of them eating dinner over there tonight. They're not study hall. They're all pretty, pretty smart kids, and they're all pretty opportunistic kids. We've just got to do a better job of getting them prepared, and then they've got to do a better job once they're out of the field and be more productive. Our defense, you know, I think that team, I made the comment to somebody after the ball game, I think that team was as good as Permian Basin. I think they played hard. I think they played a lot of grit. And, you know, they lost the quarterback, and that, you know, small as he was still pretty active. But I think that, you know, if we're going to be a good defense, we can't give up big plays, and we're going to have to be able to put people down and fit in the gaps where they're supposed to fit and rally the ball. And I don't think that we're going to overpower anybody just because of our size.
The season could not have gotten off to a better start. You got the football and you move 73 yards in four plays. You get a 37-yard touchdown pass from Dylan Sterling Cole, who was making his debut as the Midwestern State quarterback. He found Kylan Harrison for that 37-yard touchdown. The offense had two really, really impressive drives to open the game. I got to think you're really pleased with what you saw on that side of the ball.
Yeah, you know, I felt like we could have ran the ball all day long. I thought our coaches mixed the play calling up pretty effectively. And early on, we were more run-oriented. In the second half, we got to be maybe a little bit more pass-oriented. But we're not where we need to be there either. But there's promise, and all the running backs played well. Receivers, you know, we had a lot of guys open. I think Dylan was like 58%, but we had like four or five drops, so you know, he could have been well in the 60s had we caught all the balls that were right there in front.
Overall, your assessment of Dylan, did you think he did a good job, and how much room for improvement do you see?
Well, I think that he did do a good job. I think he managed the game really well. You know, he controlled what he could control. And, you know, he overthrew a couple of deep balls, which again gives you some kind of idea about his arm, the strength of his arm. I think you'll see, provided he doesn't get hurt, you'll see a lot of growth and improvement as each game goes on. He didn't play a lot of football. I mean, it was probably 3 years ago the last time he played at Arizona State. And now he's, you know, been a backup out there and didn't play. You know, he had five plays in the spring and 12 practices in the fall, and he didn't play this spring. So really, you know, he's gone a year and a half with us, and I think it's a year and a half. Maybe it's just a year. We got here in January of 19 season, I mean, January 20. We got here in January of 20. And, you know, he just hadn't put everything together, and I think he'll see a lot of growth and maturity as he goes forward. The more he plays, I think the better he's going to be.
You mentioned that the running backs, that several of them impressed you. Do you feel like you're going to stick with this running back by committee, or did one of the running backs really step up and say, hey, I should be getting the bulk of the carries?
Well, I think, you know, we substitute quite a bit because we were running the ball quite a bit, and then running backs get banged up here and there. You would prefer to have one or two backs, maybe three that are carrying the ball, and then have the other two available. Saturday didn't work out that way. I mean, you know, we had Justin Jones in the goal line. He's probably not the best guy to, not because he's not a good hard runner, but because he's a smaller dude. You know, you got to fight for every piece of real estate you can get down there, because everybody's going to be knocking you back.
Yeah.
So, you know, that carry that he got should have gone to a bigger back. And I think that all of our backs have a little bit different running style. And that complements everybody. You know, if you're not running the ball well with one back, and then you put another one in, there's an opportunity there to change of pace, I guess. You know, maybe throwing a change of pace or a curveball that they weren't expecting, and it makes you overall better. And I really believe the running game, the more success you have in the running game, the more time you're going to have in the passing game, because everybody's going to be, you know, gearing down to stop the run. And so that's why it's critical that we you know, are somewhat balanced to keep them off balance.
Midwestern State coming off the season opening victory, and there's not much time. In fact, there's no time, because you've got two big conference games coming up, and it starts this Saturday in Arlington. Let's talk a little bit about the venue and playing this game at what was once called the ballpark in Arlington. Everybody knows it as the former home of the Rangers, now Choctaw Stadium. What's it like? Are the guys excited about this opportunity to play the game at this stadium?
You know, we really haven't talked about it. You know, we've been trying to focus and concentrate on getting us better. And, you know, I don't, right or wrong, I don't believe in building. We didn't mention commerce, if you want to know the honest good truth. I've not said one word about commerce. And haven't said one word about the stadium. A lot of these guys have watched baseball games there. May have been to a high school football game. But I know one thing in my experience in going there, that the wind doesn't blow at all, and it's really hot in that state.
I've spent many a hot summer night at that ballpark, so you're absolutely right about that, and it is going to be a warm weekend.
So I think tomorrow we'll begin talking about you know, tomorrow and Thursday and Friday, Saturday morning will be heavy emphasis talking about our opponent. But, you know, really what we need to talk about is us getting our job and our assignments and our techniques and our fundamentals and being productive. And if we do the things that we're capable of doing, even though that we're outmanned, and I think we're outmanned just because we're so big. I don't know if this is time you want to start talking about them or not. But,
yeah, I know, absolutely. You're in the seventh-ranked team in the nation. It's become a great rivalry. And is it disappointing that it comes this early in the season, or do you think this is a chance to maybe take them by surprise?
you know, whether you play them second game or you play them 10th game, it really doesn't make any difference. Playing them early this year, their quarterback, their starting quarterback went down last spring with an ACL. And as far as I know, he's not recovered yet. He's only been out 5 to 6 months out of surgery. And they were hopeful they'd get him back first of October, which I thought was wishful thinking. So they're playing a transfer who's got good size. And they're playing a freshman who's a smaller scat back type guy. So their offense is hasn't been as productive. I mean, they scored 12 points against Pueblo, all field goals, one 52-yard field goal.
Yeah, a game they won 12-6 to open their season.
Right, and so that tells you two things, that their defense must be pretty dang solid, and their offense is, you know, to get field goals is you'd much rather convert those field goals into touchdowns. And as you watch the tape, you can tell that they've got the ingredients to be a really good offense, because they've got big, tall receivers that are athletic. They've got a couple running backs that are big and are fast, and they've got a solid offensive line. And I don't know if we got involved with those kids this summer or not, but I just think that their offensive line is just huge. I mean, huge. I mean, they're wide, they're tall, and they're forceful. Their defensive line is probably not as big, but they're probably more active, and they're quicker and more sudden than their own offense. And they're real solid in the kicking game. So I think, you know, we're going up against a really, really good football team.
And what I hear you saying, Coach, is, and I guess this isn't unlike any other football game, but the battle in the trenches is going to be where this game's won or lost.
I think so. You know, we're going to have to stop the run, and we're going to have to be able to run the ball. They've got two cats on the outside that are pretty quick and pretty explosive on number 23 and let's see, the 20, I think 20, 23 and 45 on one side, on the left side, and 93 on the other side. And all of them are pretty good. And they've got, you know, an Arkansas transfer linebacker. They've got from Georgia, and they got another one that's at Appalachian State. Transfer, I think. I think it was Appalachian State. No. It was Arkansas and Tennessee. Arkansas and Tennessee, they're two really good linebackers. Plus, and they're not even starting. Their starting linebackers are pretty good. They've got over 30 transfer kids. So about a third of their team is of transfer nature. So they're, when you get a transfer, you're getting somebody that's played at this level or a higher level, or at the junior college. That's got probably more game experience than some of our guys do. But I think we're going up against a good opponent, and I think our kids will be up to the challenge. And we just, at the end of the day, we've got to make fewer mistakes and make more plays.
So what has been the focus? You mentioned that to this point you haven't even really talked to the team about commerce. So what fine points are you trying to put on your team as you get ready for this game?
Well, I think that consistency is one. It would be great to be able to come out and be balanced on both sides of the ball. You know, we don't want to be in all pass and don't want to be all run. And yet on the other side of the ball, you don't want to be all man coverage and no zone, or all zone and no man. I think we've got to mix up what we do on both sides of the ball. I think we've got to make fewer mistakes. I think we've got to have fewer penalties. I think we've got to run the ball. I think we have to have the ability to be able to move the football. And that means our O-line's going to have to step up and be better than what we've been. And we were pretty good last week, but the kids we were going against were younger players and not as big and stout and strong and athletic as the ones we're going against.
You had the four takeaways against Quincy, and you didn't turn the ball over at all. You think it's possible to duplicate that kind of effort against Commerce?
I think anything's possible, but you got to be in the right place at the right time for that to happen. You know, just like Saturday, we stripped the ball out one time, and it kind of just continually rolled into the sideline, and we couldn't get the ball. We caused the big fumble. Nobody was around the ball, and we had to chase it from the middle of the field to the sideline, and we couldn't quite get there. So if we had been had somebody in the area, you know, to be able to pick that fumble up and scoop and score would have been awesome. So you make your own opportunities, and we've been working hard this week to be better on defense, and I think we will.
Well, you were close to that ball, Coach, and you were riding that scooter around because of your injured leg. And I know the fans that go to Arlington this week, they'll see you this weekend. What was it like? I know I talked to you a little bit about this in the post game, but what was it like coaching? Because I'm sure you've never been in that position as a head coach.
Have not. And it was, you know, I tried to stay behind the ball so that the ball wasn't always, you know, was going to be running away from me, which means that I was more removed from the middle of the action where I normally stand. You know, the officials made a couple calls that I wasn't right there to be able to make a quick decision on it. That was a little bit different. You know, we communicated on the phone with the coaches and, you know, I knew what we were doing on both sides of the ball. But it just, you're right, it is different. You know, you feel like we huddle up offense, defense, and special teams in certain cases before we went off the field. I was around it, but I was down. I was lower. That's why she put that on there saying, "You're going to be lower than everybody, and they need to see that flag so they don't run into you." And I said, "Well, it doesn't make any difference with the opponent because they're not looking for that anyway. They just might be searching you out." And, not talking about the opponent. I'm talking about your own team. So we put the flag up and moved around, and you know, that scooter is, you know, you get going, you don't think about, you know, at least when you're driving, you know, you've got it in gear and you're pushing the pedal down. And here, you have to either go forward or backwards, and it's up or back. And sometimes you get excited and you go the wrong way. And then you're you know, that happened to me tonight trying to get in the door. I crashed into the door. I thought I was backing up, but I went forward and then whack. I thought it broke the glass coming in, but I guess it didn't. So just got to get used to it. Like the players, we'll be better on that scooter this week than we did.
So you touched on a couple of things. I wanted to ask you about communication with the officials. How was that affected by your circumstances and having to use the scooter?
You know, I thought those officials were very considerate of, I don't know if that's just the way they officiated all the games, but that referee came up to me after every quarter and said, "Do you have anything for me? Is there something I should know? Are you concerned about anything?" I thought that was the first time anybody's ever asked, you know, was that out of compassion for being on a scooter, or do they do that every week? There was a couple penalties I felt like that I missed. I mean, it didn't affect the game, but that I wasn't right there. Usually the head coach is right there on the ball and the officials, you know, come right to the middle of the field. Well, with me being behind the ball, and let's say that there was a call down the field, I'm not going to get on that scooter and go all the way down to the end. So they looked over at the sideline And they, I don't remember what the call was. It might have been a holding call or something. And they just looked at, then they finally caught my attention, and they marked it. They just went ahead and marked it off. But, I'm in the game, but again, I'm not positioned where you would normally be. I'm not right there in the middle of everything. So there, that means that our coaches have got to be on point with substitution and special teams, all the different things that we've got to do.
I've heard a lot of times head coaches will say, it's my job to coach the coaches. Do you kind of feel that way about your position? And also, along that same line, how would you evaluate how the coaches did in week one?
I think I coach the coaches to some degree. I don't coach them to call this play on this down and distance. I look at the film, but I look at it in a broader sense. They look at it in a keener, detailed sense. There'll be some things that I'll see on both sides of the ball, and we'll discuss it and talk and see if that's applicable. As far as our coaches, I thought they did a really good job on both sides. Maintaining, I guess, more on offense and defense, making some adjustments that were effective in how we played the second half.
And I know I've probably talked to you about this before, but it seems like Midwestern State, since I've been covering the team, is always pretty good at those adjustments. What happens in the locker room at halftime? How much chalk talk is there going on?
We break down, Now this week we'll have a 25-minute half. Last week we had a 20-minute half. So in that 20 minutes, you've got about 16 minutes once you get off the field. We didn't have very far to go off the field. Our locker room was right there. So the first 2 to 3 minutes, the players are on their own to go to the bathroom, get some Gatorade, get some water, just kind of get ready to go to the next phase of it. Then our coaches during that time, there's about 8 minutes that our coaches spend together, and then they go in. They've got about 4 minutes with their position coach, maybe 2 to 4, and then at the end, after they've met with their position, then the coordinators come in and kind of tie together what they need to do on that specific side of the ball, and then I'll come in for the last minute or two and just talk about what we need to do as a team to go forward. So we've got it broken down, and that sometimes we might spend a little bit longer time in making adjustments before we break offense and defense, and sometimes we may not have an individual group meeting. It may be all team, offensive team together, defensive team together. We try to make the position coach get some time with his players, the coordinator get some time, and then they get some time, and I get some time. So we divide it up. It's not always the same amount of time each week, depending upon how the game's going and what adjustments we've had to make. But we do have a plan.
I want to touch real quickly on the conference as a whole, because the LSC went 6-2 to open the season. Did really well this week. I think Angelo State, A&M Commerce, Permian Basin, West Texas A&M, and Western New Mexico, as well as Midwestern, all started the season with victories this season. Do you feel like this is going to be a strong season for the LSC?
Well, based upon preseason polls where they had, five teams at the top and three teams at the bottom, you just think that those five teams are going to battle it out, and the three other teams are going to get better as the season goes along. I think all three of the teams that are ranked at the bottom are all have home coaches. And I didn't see Western New Mexico. I don't know who they play. Didn't see that score.
Yeah. It's Coach, I'm going blank here, but I do know that they got the win because were they the team that won at Adams State?
I don't know. I don't even know who they played.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up. And, yeah, it was Adams State. Western New Mexico beat Adams State 35-17. Saginaw Valley beat A&M Kingsville 13-9. Permian Basin beat Southwest Baptist 24-16. Angelo State handled Lindenwood, who we saw a couple of years ago, 40-20. Commerce beat Pueblo, as we mentioned, in West Texas. Throttled Texas College 73-0. Eastern New Mexico took a whipping. They got beat by Central Washington 66-24, and we'll see them later on.
Yeah. So, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, our philosophy has always been to concentrate on, I mean, like I say, I didn't even know who Western New Mexico played, and our focus is on the next opponent. And that's where our talk is about. I'm sure that our players and coaches, you know, are aware of what's going on in the conference, but I'm more concerned with what we do and how we do it, what we're going to do, than maybe, you know, who we're going to play.
Well, we're 1-0, and we look to be 2-0 at when we talk Saturday night. Coach, appreciate all your time, and good luck getting the team prepared for Commerce. These are always fun games, and we expect another one in Arlington this week.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
That's Bill Maskell, who coached. Hey, Coach, I wanted to ask you this real quick before we go. You coached in your 201st game on Saturday. Do you still get jazzed about the season starting and game day? Do you still get butterflies on game day? Were you still energized by the whole experience?
Absolutely. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I enjoy really now that I'm enjoying the week a little bit more than the past, the preparation for the week. Game day is always special because now you want to see. You know, I think I told you last week, I wasn't sure what we were going to do. And I wasn't sure what Quincy's going to do. Now that we've gotten a conference opponent, we're a little more familiar with, since we play them every year, who they are, what they are, how what they've done over the last, since Coach Bayless been there. So we're a little bit more familiar, and, you know, seeing a game this year gives you better what the team that you're getting ready to play is who they really are, what their identity is, because, you know, Quincy didn't score many points in the spring. I mean, they got drilled by two of their opponents, and I can't remember who those guys were. And their scrimmage ahead got canceled or called off. It was only a half. So our evaluation really was a touch of what they did in spring, but mostly in 2019 what they did. And yes, we are aware of what Commerce has done in 2019. I think they went a couple rounds deep in the playoffs, maybe more than that. But we've seen them in person, I didn't say in person, but on film, where we know what they've done for at least one ball game, and they know what we've done for one ball game, as opposed to something that happened 2 years ago. So I've got a better idea. We've got a better idea of, you know, who Commerce is, and then naturally playing them, as I mentioned, every year. We know what their identity is. And we know they like to run the ball, and we know they like to run the quarterback, and they have big receivers that like to throw the ball up. And we know they're fast and quick and athletic and powerful and explosive on defense. So, you know, it's a challenge now for us to take some of our guys that maybe not as them and prepare them to play a team that on paper is probably better than them. And so there's the motivating factor that you get excited about getting ready to play.
Well, we are excited about it, Coach, and we'll see you Saturday night. And again, thanks for your time tonight, and we look forward to doing this again next week after a win over Commerce.
All right. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate your time.
All right. That's Head Coach Bill Maskell, and you've been listening to the Staying Gang Podcast.